Christelike bedieninge van reg oor die wêreld het saamgespan om die internasionale kursus te skep. Hierdie leerlinge is saamgestel om die kerk en menigte nasies te help, om Christene toe te rus sodat hulle geloof kan verstaan en om diensknegte van Jesus Christus te word. Hierdie kursus is getiteld Persoonlike Evangelisasie. Hierdie is die eerste sessie en word aangebied deur Ray Comfort.
My name is Ray Comfort. I'm going to share a teaching with you called Hell's Best Kept Secret.
My name is Ray Comfort en ek gaan 'n lering met u meedeel wat ek noem Hel se beste geheim.
In the late 70s God opened an itinerant ministry to me.
In die 1970s het die Here vir my 'n bediening opgemaak wat ek rondreis.
As I began to travel, I found to my horror.
Terwyl ek begin reis het ek uitgevind
that up to 80% of those making a decision for Christ were falling away from the faith.
Dat 80% van die mense wat 'n besluit maak vir Jesus Christus, word afvallig.
Let me bring it up to date for you.
Kom ek bring dit tot datum vir u.
In 1991, a major denomination.
In 1991 het 'n hoofdenominasie
was able to obtain 294,000 decisions for Christ.
Was in staat om 294,000 besluite vir Christus te verkry.
And they could only find 14,000 in fellowship.
Maar hulle kon net 14,000 van hulle in die kerk kry.
In other words,
met ander woorde,
they couldn't account for 280,000 of their decisions.
280,000 mense wat besluite geneem het, was afvallig.
This is normal modern evangelical results.
Dit is normale evangelisasie resultate.
I discovered this way back in the 70s.
Ek het dit in die 1970s ontdek.
So I made it a matter of prayer and began to study the gospel proclamations.
En ek het daaroor gebid en ek het begin die evangelies bestudeer.
Of men like Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley.
En ek het John Wesley en Charles Spurgeon begin bestudeer.
And others that God greatly used down through the ages.
En andere wat die Here kragtig gebruik het deur die eeue.
I found they used a principle which is almost entirely neglected by modern evangelism.
En ek het uitgevind hulle het 'n prinsip gebruik wat totaal geïgnoreer word vir ons moderne evangelisasie.
The Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect.
Die Bybel sê die wet van die Here is perfek.
Converting the soul.
Wat die siel tot bekering lei.
To illustrate the function of God's law, let's look for a moment at civil law.
Om God se wet te illustreer, kom ons kyk na ons siviele wet.
Imagine if I said to you,
dink as ek nou vir u sê,
I've got some good news for you.
Ek het goeie nuus vir u.
Someone has just paid a $25,000 speeding fine on your behalf.
Iemand het jou pas 25,000 rand betaal vir 'n spoedfonds vir jou onthaalwe.
They probably react by saying that's not good news.
Jy sal seker reageer sê, dis nie goeie nuus nie.
Doesn't make sense.
Dit maak nie sin.
I don't have a $25,000 speeding fine.
Ek het nie 'n 25,000 rand se spoed.
My good news wouldn't be good news too. It'd be foolishness.
My goeie nuus sal nie goeie nuus wees nie. Dit sal dwaasheid wees.
But more than that, it would be offensive to you.
Maar meer as dit, dit sal jou in die krop, dwars in die krop.
Because I'm insinuating you've broken the law when you don't think you have.
Ek insinueer dat jy die wet verbreek het, wanneer jy nie voel jy het die wet verbreek nie.
But if I put it this way, it may make more sense.
Maar as ek dit op 'n ander manier stel, dan maak dit meer sin.
On your way to this meeting,
op pad na hierdie bijeenkomst, het die polisie,
the law,
die wet,
clocked you at going 55 miles an hour.
Het jou spoed opgeneem en jy het 55 mil per uur gery.
Through an area set aside for a blind children's convention.
Deur 'n area wat hulle afgesonder het vir blinde kinders se konvensie.
There were 10 clear warning signs.
Daar was 10 duidelike waarskuwingstekens.
Stating that 15 miles an hour was the maximum speed.
Wat gestel het dat 15 mil per uur is die vinnigste wat jy kan ry.
But you went straight through at 55 miles an hour.
Maar het reg deur daardie spoedsgrens gery 55 mil.
It was extremely dangerous.
Wat jy gedoen het was verskriklik gevaarlik.
It's a $25,000 fine.
En jy moet $25,000 dollar betaal.
The law was about to take its course.
Die wet was het sy koers geneem.
When someone you don't even know,
iemand wat jy nie eens geken het nie,
stepped in and paid the fine for you.
Het dit vir jou betaal.
You are very fortunate.
Jy is baie baie gelukkig.
Can you see that telling you what you've done wrong first?
Kan jy sien dat wanneer ons mense vertel wat hulle eerstens verkeerd gedoen het,
actually makes the good news.
Maak die goeie nuus.
If someone paying the fine for you makes sense.
Iemand wat vir die kaart betaal het, dan maak dit sin.
If I don't clearly bring instruction, you've violated the law.
As ek nie duidelik vir jou wys dat jy die wet verbreek het nie.
Then the good news will seem foolishness.
Dan sal die goeie nuus soos dwaasheid lyk.
And offensive.
En dit sal ook dwars in die krop
sit. If I clearly bring instruction, you've violated the law.
As ek jou duidelik instruksie bring dat jy die wet verbreek het.
Then that good news will become good news indeed.
Dan dat goeie nuus sal daadwerklik goeie nuus word.
And in the same way,
dieselfde manier,
if I approach an impenitent sinner,
as ek na 'n sondaar toe kom,
someone whose understanding is darkened,
iemand wat glad nie die evangelie verstaan nie,
and say Jesus Christ died on the cross for you,
en hulle sê dat Jesus Christus het vir jou gesterwe,
it'll be foolishness to him,
dit sal dwaasheid vir hom wees,
and offensive to him,
en dit sal hom dwars in die krop steek.
Foolishness because it won't make sense.
Dwaasheid want dit maak nie sin nie.
The Bible says that.
Die Bybel sê dit.
It says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Die prediking van die kruis is vir die wat dit hoor dwaasheid.
And it'll be offensive to him.
En dit sal hulle dwaas in die krop steek.
Because I'm insinuating he's a sinner.
Want ek sê dat hy is 'n sondaar.
When he doesn't think he is.
En hy dink nie hy is 'n sondaar nie.
As far as he's concerned, a lot of people worse than him.
As far as hom het aangaan as 'n baie meer mense slegter
as hy. But if I follow in the footsteps of Jesus.
Maar as ek in Jesus se voetstappe volg,
it may make more sense.
Dan sal het meer sin maak.
If I take the time to open up the divine law.
As ek die tyd vat en die wet oopmaak.
To open up the Ten Commandments.
Om die 10 gebooie oop te maak.
And show the sinner precisely what he's done wrong.
En die sondaar wys wat hy verkeerd gedoen het.
Then when he becomes as James says.
Dan wanneer hy word soos wat Jakobus sê.
Convinced of the law as a transgressor.
En hy word bewys dat hy die wet verbreek het.
The good news will not be foolishness.
Dan sal die goeie nuus nie dwaasheid vir hom wees nie.
It will not be offensive.
Dit sal hom nie dwaas in die krop steek nie.
It will be the power of God unto salvation.
Dit sal die krag van God tot redding wees.
Now with those few thoughts in mind.
Met daardie paar gedagtes.
By way of introduction.
Op 'n manier van voorstelling.
Let's look at Romans 3 verse 19.
Kom ons kyk na Romeine 3 vers 19.
We're looking at God's word.
Ons kyk na God se woord.
To see what it says about the law.
Om te sien wat dit sê oor die wet.
In Romans 3 verse 19.
In Romeine 3 vers 19.
Now we know that whatsoever things the law says.
Dit weet ons alles wat Moses se wet sê.
Says to them who are under the law.
Sê vir die wat die wet het.
That every mouth may be stopped.
Niemand sal hom dus kan verweer nie.
And all the world.
En die hele wêreld.
Not just the Jews.
Nie net die Jode nie.
But all the world.
Die hele wêreld.
May become guilty before God.
Is strafwaardig voor God.
So one function of God's law is to stop sinners' mouths.
So een funksie van God se wet is om sondaars se monde te stop.
And leave them guilty before God.
En hulle skuldig voor God hou.
Following verse, Romans 3 verse 20.
Die volgende versie, vers 20.
Therefore by the deeds of the law.
Daarom sal geen mens op grond van wetsonderhoud.
There shall no flesh be justified in his sight.
Deur God vrygespreek word nie.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Inteendeel, deur die wet leer 'n mens wat sonde is.
So God's law tells us what sin is.
So God se wet leer ons wat sonde is.
1 John says sin is transgression of the law.
1 Johannes sê dat sonde is die verbreking van die wet.
Then over somewhat to Romans 7 verse 7.
En Romeine 7 vers 7.
Romans 7 verse 7 says.
Romeine 7 vers 7 sê.
Paul speaking.
Paulus praat.
What should we say then?
Wat is dan ons gevolgtrekking?
Is the law sin?
Dat die wet van Moses sonde
God
is?
God forbid.
Beslis nie.
No, I had not known sin, but by the law.
Inteendeel, ek sou nie geweet het wat sonde is nie, as dit nie deur die wet was.
Paul says he didn't know what sin was.
Paulus sê hy het nie geweet wat sonde is nie.
Until the law told him.
Totdat die wet hom vertel het.
And over in Galatians 3:24.
And in Galatians 3 vers 24.
Says these words.
Sê dit die volgende.
Galatians 3:24.
Galatians 3 vers 24.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster.
Ons was dus onder die toesig van die wet.
To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith.
Totdat Christus sou kom sodat ons deur te glo vrygespreek sou word.
So the law acts as a schoolmaster.
So die wet is soos 'n onderwyser.
To bring us to Jesus Christ.
Om ons na Jesus Christus toe te bring.
That we might be justified through faith in his blood.
Sodat ons geregverdig word deur geloof in sy bloed.
The law doesn't help us.
Die wet help ons nie.
Leaves us helpless.
Dit los ons sonder hoop.
It doesn't justify us.
Dit regverdig ons nie.
Just leaves us guilty before the judgment bar of Almighty God.
Dit hou ons skuldig voor God se geregtigheid.
Now the tragedy of modern evangelism.
Die tragedie van moderne evangelisasie.
Is that around the turn of the century.
Is dat gedurende die draai van die eeu.
When it forsook the law.
Mense het die wet gelos.
And its capacity to drive sinners to Christ.
En die kapasiteit om sondaars na God toe te bring.
Modern evangelism had to find another reason.
Moderne evangelisasie moes nog 'n rede vind.
For sinners to respond to the gospel.
Sodat sondaars tot die evangelie
And the issue that modern evangelism chose.
En wat moderne evangelisasie doen
was the issue of life enhancement.
Is sodat mense beter lewe kan lewe.
The gospel degenerated into
Die evangelie het begin word
Jesus Christ will give you peace.
Jesus Christus sal jou vrede gee.
Joy, love and fulfillment.
Blydskap en vervulling in jou lewe.
Now to illustrate the unscriptural nature.
Om die onskriftuurlike natuur van dit te illustreer.
This very popular teaching.
Van hierdie populaire lering.
I want you to listen very carefully.
Wil ek hê moet baie nou na my luister.
Because the essence of what I'm saying pivots on this next story.
Want die essensie wat ek gaan sê, draai om hierdie volgende storie.
Two men were seated in a plane.
Twee mans sit op 'n vliegtuig.
First is given a parachute.
Vir die eerste een gee hulle 'n valskerm.
And told to put it on.
En hulle sê vir hom sit dit aan.
Because it would improve his flight.
Want dit sal jou beter
He's a little skeptical at first.
Hy is eers skepties.
Because he can't see how wearing a parachute in a plane could possibly improve the flight.
Want hy kan nie sien hoe as hy 'n valskerm aantrek hoe dit gaan beter vir hom wees sodat hy beter sal vlieg nie.
After time he decides to experiment.
Na 'n ruk besluit hy om 'n eksperiment.
And see if the claim's true.
En hy sien of wat hy sê waar is. Terwyl hy dit aantrek,
he notices the weight upon his shoulders.
Sien hy die gewig op sy skouers.
And he finds he has difficulty in sitting upright.
En hy vind uit dat hy kan nie regop sit nie.
However, he consoles himself.
So hy sê ag nee, jy weet moenie bekommerd wees.
The fact he was told the parachute would improve the flight.
Want hulle het hom gesê hy sal 'n beter vlieg rit hê as hy die valskerm aantrek.
So he decides to give the thing a little time.
So hy besluit hy gaan dit bietjie tyd gee.
As he waits.
Terwyl hy wag.
He notices that some of the other passengers are laughing at him.
Sien hy dat van die ander passasiers lag vir hom.
Because he's wearing a parachute in a plane.
Want hy dra 'n valskerm in 'n vliegtuig.
He begins to feel somewhat humiliated.
En jy weet hy voel verontwaardig.
As they begin to point and laugh at him.
En hulle begin vinger van wys en hulle lag vir hom.
He can stand it no longer.
Hy kan dit nie meer vat nie.
He slinks in his seat.
Hy straal om in sy stoel.
And straps the parachute.
And hy sit die valskerm.
And throws it to the floor.
En hy val dit af.
Disillusionment and bitterness fill his heart.
Hy begin bitter word en hy geniet dit nie meer nie.
Because as far as he was concerned, he was told an outright lie.
Want so ver het hom aangaan, het hy hom
alleen vertel. The second man is given a parachute.
Die tweede man word daarvoor 'n valskerm gegee.
But listen to what he's told.
Maar luister wat hulle vir hom sê.
He's told to put it on.
Sê hom trek die valskerm aan.
Because in any moment he'd be jumping 25,000 feet out of the plane.
Want op enige oomblik gaan jy 25,000 voet uit die vliegtuig uitspring.
He gratefully puts the parachute on.
Hy is dankbaar om die valskerm aan te trek.
He doesn't notice the weight upon his shoulders.
Hy voel nie die gewig op sy skouers nie.
Nor that he can't sit upright.
Ook nie dat hy nie kan regop sit nie.
His mind is consumed with the thought.
Sy gedagtes word behep met die gedagte.
What would happen to him if he jumped without that parachute?
Wat sou gebeur as hy sou spring sonder daardie valskerm?
Let's analyze the motive and the result.
Kom ons analiseer die motief en die resultaat.
of each passenger's experience.
Van elke passasier se ondervinding.
The first man's motive for putting the parachute on.
Die eerste man se motief om die valskerm aan te trek.
Was solely to improve his flight.
Is net sodat hy 'n beter vlug sou hê.
The result of his experience.
Die resultaat van sy ondervinding.
Was that he was humiliated by the passengers.
Was dat hy was verontwaardig deur die ander passasiers.
He was disillusioned.
Hy was mismoedig.
And somewhat embittered against those who gave him the parachute.
En hy het bitter geword teen die mense wat vir hom daar die valskerm gegee het.
As far as he's concerned.
Ver het hom aangaan.
It'll be a long time.
Gaan het 'n lang tydperk wees.
Before anyone gets one of those things on his back again.
Voor enige man weer een van daardie valskerms op sy rug sit.
The second man put the parachute on.
Die tweede man het die valskerm aangetrek.
Solely to escape the jump to come.
Net sodat hy die sprong kon oorlewe.
And because of his knowledge of what would happen to him without it.
En oor sy kennis van wat hy sou weet wat sou gebeur sonder die valskerm.
He has a deep-rooted joy and peace in his heart knowing that he's saved from sure death.
Het hy blydskap en vrede in sy hart want hy weet hy word gered van 'n daadwerklike dood.
This knowledge gives him the ability.
Hierdie kennis stel hom in staat
to withstand the mockery of the other passengers.
Om nie homself te bekommer oor dit wat die ander passasiers sê.
His attitude toward those who gave him the parachute.
Sy gesindheid teenoor die wat hom daardie valskerm gegee het.
Is one of heartfelt gratitude.
Is een van dankbaarheid in
sy. Now listen to what the modern gospel says.
Luister wat die moderne evangelie sê.
It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Die moderne evangelie sê, trek die Here Jesus Christus aan.
He'll give you love, joy, peace, fulfillment.
Hy sal jou liefde gee, vrede en vervulling.
And lasting happiness.
En hy sal jou gelukkig maak.
So the sinner responds.
So die sondaar reageer.
In an experimental fashion.
Om dit te ondervind.
Puts on the Savior to see if the claims are true.
En hy trek Jesus aan om te sien of dit waar is.
And what does he get?
En wat kry hy?
The promised temptation, tribulation and persecution.
Die beloofde van temptasie en onderdrukking.
The other passengers mock him.
En die ander passasiers spot hom.
So what does he do?
So wat doen hy?
He takes off the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hy trek die Here Jesus uit.
He's offended for the word's sake.
Hy is kwaad vir die woord onthaalwe.
He's disillusioned and somewhat embittered.
Hy is mismoedig en hy raak bitter.
And quite rightly so.
En hy het ook reg om so te wees.
He was promised peace, joy, love, fulfillment and lasting happiness.
Hy het vrede en blydskap beloof en laat hy vir altyd gelukkig sal wees.
And all he got was trials and humiliation.
Al wat hy gekry het was temptasie en beskuldiging.
His bitterness is directed at those who gave him the so-called good news.
En sy bitterheid gaan uit teenoor die wat hom die sogenaamde goeie nuus gegee het.
His latter end becomes worse than the first.
Sy einde word erger as sy begin.
Another inoculated and bitter backslider.
En nou word hy ook geïnokuleer en hy word 'n teruggevallene.
Saints, instead of preaching that Jesus improves the flight,
instead of dat ons vir mense moet preek dat Jesus die vlug beter sal maak,
we should be warning the passengers they're going to have to jump out of the plane.
Moet ons die passasiers waarsku dat hulle moet uit daar, hulle gaan uit die vliegtuig uitspring.
The disappointed man wants to die.
A man gaan sterf.
And after this, the judgment.
En nadat hy sterf, gaan hy voor God staan.
And when a sinner understands the horrific consequences.
En wanneer 'n sondaar verstaan wat met hom sal gebeur.
Breaking God's law.
Dat hy God se wet verbreek het.
Then he will flee to the Savior.
Dan sal hy na Jesus toe hardloop.
Solely to escape the wrath that's to come.
Sodat hy kan ontsnap dit wat sal
kom. And if we're true and faithful witnesses.
En as ons getroue getuienis is.
That's what we should be preaching.
Dis wat ons moet preek.
That there's wrath to come.
Dat daar is oordeel wat gaan kom.
That God commands all men everywhere to repent.
God beveel dat mense oral moet hulle self bekeer.
Because he's appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness.
Omdat hy 'n dag gestel het wat hy die mense gaan oordeel in
geregtigheid. See, the issue isn't one of happiness.
Dis nie 'n kwessie van om gelukkig te wees nie.
It's one of righteousness.
Dis een van geregtigheid.
Doesn't matter how happy a sinner is.
Dit maak nie saak hoe gelukkig 'n sondaar is nie.
How much he's enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season.
Hoeveel hy geniet 'n sonde vir 'n seisoen nie.
Without the righteousness of Christ,
sonder die geregtigheid van Christus,
he'll perish in the day of wrath.
Sal hy val in die dag van oordeel.
Scripture says,
die skrif sê,
Riches profit not on the day of wrath.
Rijkdom gaan niks doen in die dag van oordeel.
But righteousness delivers from death.
Maar geregtigheid red ons van 'n daadwerklike dood.
Peace and joy are legitimate fruits of salvation.
Vrede en blydskap is daadwerklik vrugte van ons bekering.
But it's not legitimate to use these fruits.
Maar ons kan nie hierdie vrug gebruik
as a draw card for salvation.
Om mense te trek tot redding nie.
If we continue to do so,
as ons dit nog steeds doen,
sinners will respond with an impure motive.
Sal sondaars reageer met die verkeerde motief.
Lacking repentance.
En hulle sal nie hulle self bekeer nie.
Now can you remember why the second passenger had joy and peace?
Kan jy onthou hoekom die tweede passasier blydskap gehad het en vrede?
It was because he knew that parachute was going to save him from sure death.
Want hy het geweet daardie valskerm gaan hom red van 'n daadwerklike dood.
And as a believer,
en as 'n gelowige,
I have joy and peace in believing.
Ek het blydskap en vrede in die feit dat ek glo.
Because I know that the righteousness of Christ,
want ek weet die geregtigheid van Christus,
is going to deliver me from the wrath that's to come.
Gaan my vrymaak van die oordeel wat gaan kom.
Now that thought in mind, let's take a close look at an incident on board the plane.
Met daardie gedagte, kom ons kyk na 'n incident wat gebeur op die vliegtuig.
We have a brand new stewardess.
Ons het 'n splinter nuwe vlugwaardin.
She's carrying a tray of boiling hot coffee.
Sy dra 'n pot warm koffie.
It's her first day.
Dis haar eerste dag.
So she wants to leave an impression on the passengers.
So sy wil daadwerklik 'n impressie maak op die passasiers.
And she certainly does.
En sy doen dit ook.
Because as she's walking down the aisle,
terwyl sy by die gang afloop,
she trips over someone's foot.
Val sy oor iemand se voete.
And slops that boiling hot coffee.
En daardie warm koffie.
All over the lap of our second passenger.
Val reg oor die skoot van ons tweede passasier.
What's his reaction as that boiling liquid hits his tender flesh?
Wat is sy reaksie wanneer daardie warm koffie op hom val?
Does he go, that's hot?
Say, oh, that's warm.
Oh yeah, he feels the pain.
Oh, hy voel die pain.
But then does he rip the parachute from his shoulders?
Maar dan trek hy die valskerm uit.
Throw it to the floor.
En gooi dit op die grond.
Say the stupid parachute.
Sê hierdie dom valskerm.
No.
Nee.
Why should he?
Hoekom moet hy?
He didn't put the parachute on for a better flight.
Hy het nie die valskerm aangetrek sodat hy beter vlug kon hê nie.
He put it on to save him from the jump to come.
Hy het die valskerm aangetrek om hom te red van die sprong wat hy moet spring.
If anything, the hot coffee incident.
Die warm koffie incident.
Causes it to cling tighter to the parachute.
Maak hom net meer vashou aan daardie valskerm.
And even look forward to the jump.
Nee, kyk uit na die sprong.
Now, if you and I have put on the Lord Jesus Christ for the right motive.
As ons die Here Jesus Christus aantrek met die regte motief.
To flee from the wrath that's to come.
Om die oordeel te ontsnap wat gaan kom.
When tribulation strikes.
Wanneer verdrukking kom.
When the flight gets bumpy.
Wanneer die vlug bietjie rof raak.
We won't get angry at God.
Sal ons nie kwaad raak vir die Here nie.
We won't lose our joy and peace.
Ons sal nie ons blydskap en ons vrede verloor nie.
Why should we?
Hoekom moet ons?
We didn't come to Jesus for a happy lifestyle.
Ons het nie na Jesus toe gekom net om 'n blye lewenswyse te hê.
We came to flee from the wrath that's to come.
Ons het gekom sodat ons die oordeel kan ontsnap wat gaan kom.
And if anything, tribulation drives the true believer closer to the Savior.
En enigiets verdrukking sit ware gelowiges naby aan hulle redder.
Sadly, we have multitudes of professing Christians.
Maar ons het duisende Christene wat sê hulle is Christene.
Who lose their joy and peace when the flight gets bumpy.
Wat hulle blydskap en hulle vrede verloor wanneer die vlug 'n bietjie rof raak.
Why?
Hoekom?
Because they're the product of modern evangelism.
Want hulle is die produk van moderne evangelisasie.
They came lacking repentance without which you cannot be saved.
Want hulle het gekom en hulle het nie daadwerklik bekeer nie en sonder bekering kan jy nie tot redding kom nie.
You see, there's no way I'm going to take a cure.
Sien, daar is geen manier wat ek medisyne gaan vat.
Unless I first admit I've got the disease.
Dan sê ek eersens bely dat ek daadwerklik siek is nie.
Why should I take a cure?
Hoekom moet ek medisyne vat?
If I don't believe I've got the disease.
As ek nie glo ek het ek is
the
siek.
The law convinces me I'm diseased.
Die wet sê ek is siek.
So that I'll accept the gospel.
Sodat ek die evangelie kan aanvaar.
Now, biblical evangelism,
Bijbelse evangelisatie,
is always,
is altijd,
law to the proud,
die wet aan die trotsaard,
and grace to the humble,
en genade aan die nederige.
Never will you see Jesus,
nooit zul je Jesus zien,
giving the gospel,
die evangelie gee,
the cross,
die kruis,
the grace of our God,
die genade van ons
to
God,
a proud, arrogant, self-righteous person.
Aan trotse, arrogante, zelfgerechtvaardige
mensen. No, with the law he breaks the hard heart.
Met die wet verbreek hij die harde hart.
And with the gospel he heals the broken heart.
En met die evangelie maak hij gezond die gebroken hart.
Why?
Hoekom?
Because he always did those things that pleased the Father.
Want hij het altijd daar die dingen gedoen wat die Vader
God resists the proud.
God weerstaan die trotses.
And gives grace to the humble.
Maar hy gee genade aan die nederiges.
Everyone who is proud of heart.
Almal wat trots is van hart.
Is an abomination to the Lord.
Is wat God weerstaan.
Jesus told us for whom the gospel is.
Jesus het ons gesê vir wie die evangelie is.
He said the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Sê die gees van die Here is op my.
Because he has appointed me.
Want hy het my gesalf.
To preach the gospel,
om die evangelie te verkondig,
to the poor,
aan die armes,
the broken hearted,
die gebroken van hart,
the captives,
die wat gevangenes is,
and the blind,
en die blindes.
Now they are spiritual statements.
Dit is geestelike stellings.
The poor means those who are poor in spirit.
Die armes beteken hulle wat arm in geest.
The broken hearted are the contrite ones, those that mourn.
Die gebroken harte is die mense wat 'n gebroken hart het, die
the
wat
weet. Are those of whom Satan has taken captive.
Die gevangenes is die wat die duivel gevangen geneem het.
And the blind are those whom the god of this world has blinded.
En die blindes is die wat die god van hierdie wêreld verblind het.
Only the sick need a physician.
Net die siekes het 'n geneesheer nodig.
And only those who are convinced of the disease.
En nie, net die alleen wat weet hulle het daardie siekte.
Will accept the cure.
Sal daar die medisyne, die geneesheer
aanneem. Now, Luke 10:25.
In Lukas 10 vers 25.
We see Jesus doing this.
Sien ons Jesus dit doen.
Giving the law to the proud.
Hy gee die wet aan die trotses.
Now let me paraphrase this somewhat for you.
Kom ek som dit op 'n manier vir u.
In Luke 10:25, a certain lawyer.
In Lukas 10 vers 25 is daar 'n sekere advokaat.
Stood up and he tempted Jesus.
Hy staan op en hy versoek Jesus.
Here we have a professing expert in God's law.
He is iemand wat 'n wetgeleerde is.
Standing up.
Hy staan op.
And tempting the son of God.
En hy wou Jesus 'n struikvraag vra.
He was proud, arrogant and self-righteous.
Hy was trots, hy was arrogant en selfgeregtig.
So Jesus gave him the law.
So Jesus gee vir hom die wet.
He said, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?"
Hy sê, "Wat staan geskryf in die wet? Hoe lees jy die wet?"
And he said,
en hy sê,
"You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength."
Jy moet die Here jou God lief hê met jou hele hart en met jou hele siel en met al jou krag.
He said, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself."
En jy moet jou naaste lief hê soos jouself.
And then Jesus said,
en Jesus sê toe vir hom,
"This do and you shall live."
Jy het reg geantwoord, doen dit en jy sal die lewe verkry.
And then the Bible says,
en toe sê die Bybel,
but he willing to justify himself,
hierdie wetgeleerde wat homself wou regverdig,
said to Jesus,
sê toe vir Jesus,
who is my neighbor?
En wie is my naaste?
The Living Bible brings out more clearly,
die lewende Bybel bring iets meer duideliks uit.
The effect of the law on that man.
Die effek van die wet op daardie man.
Said the man wanted to justify.
Die man wil homself geregverdig het.
His lack of love for some kinds of people.
Sy vir tekortkoming van liefde vir sekere mense.
So he said to Jesus.
So hy sê dit vir Jesus.
Which neighbors?
Wat die buurmense?
See, he didn't mind Jews.
Sien, hy was nie deur die Jode geplaag.
But he didn't like Samaritans.
Maar hy het nie van Samaritane gehou nie.
So Jesus told him the story.
So Jesus vertel hom toe die story.
Of what we call.
Wat ons noem.
The good Samaritan.
Die goeie Samaritaan.
Who was not good at all.
Wat glad nie goed was nie.
When he loved his neighbor as himself.
Want hy het sy naaste lief gehad soos homself.
He merely obeyed the basic requirements of God's law.
Hy het net die basiese ding van God se wet gehoorsaam.
And the effect of the essence of the law.
En die effek van die essensie van die wet.
The spirituality of the law.
Die geestelikheid van die wet.
Of what the law demanded in truth.
Wat die wet wil hê in
was
waarheid.
Was to stop that man's mouth.
Is om daar die man se mond stil te hou.
He didn't say another word.
Hy het nie nog 'n woord gesê nie.
Because he didn't love his neighbor to that degree.
Want hy het nie sy naaste gelief hê. Lief gehad.
Remember, the law
vlak.
Was given to stop every mouth.
Onthou, die wet was gegee om elke mond stil te maak.
And leave the whole world guilty before God.
En die hele wêreld skuldig te hou voor die Here.
We see a similar thing in Luke 18 verse 18.
Ons sien dit dieselfde ding in Lukas 18 vers 18.
We won't turn to it for the sake of time.
Ons gaan nie soontoe gaan blaai nie vir tydsonderhoud.
But the rich young ruler said he had kept the commandments.
Maar die ryk jong man het gesê hy het die wet onderhou.
So Jesus used the first of the Ten Commandments.
So Jesus het die eerste van die 10 gebooie genoem.
I am the Lord your God.
Ek is die Here jou God.
You shall have no other gods before me.
Jy mag geen ander afgode voor my hê nie.
To show this man that his God was his money.
Om hierdie man te wys dat sy God was sy geld.
You cannot serve God and mammon.
Jy kan nie God en mammon dien nie.
So we see law to the proud.
So ons sien die wet aan die trotsaard.
Then we see grace being given to the humble.
En dan ons sien ons genade wat gegee word vir die nederiges.
In the case of Nicodemus.
Byvoorbeeld Nicodemus.
Who was a humble Jew.
Wat 'n nederige Jood was.
Who acknowledged the deity of the Son of God.
Wat Jesus se goddelikheid erken het.
He was a teacher in Israel.
Hy was 'n leermeester in Israel.
So he obviously knew the law.
So hy die wet geken.
And the law was a schoolmaster to bring this godly Jew to Christ.
En die wet was die onderwyser om hierdie Jood na Christus toe te bring.
Same with the case of Nathanael in John 1.
Dieselfde met Nathanael in Johannes hoofstuk 1.
Who was an Israelite.
Wat 'n Israeliet was.
Brought up under the law.
Wat geonderrig was in die wet.
He was an Israelite indeed.
Hy was 'n Israeliet.
Not just in word.
En dit wat hy gedoen het. Nie net in sy woorde nie.
And there was no deceit in his heart.
En daar was geen misleiding in sy hart nie.
And the law was a schoolmaster to bring this godly Jew to Christ.
En die wet was 'n onderwyser om hierdie goddelike Jood na Jesus toe te bring.
Same with the Jews on the day of Pentecost.
Dieselfde met die Jode op die dag van die
Pinkster. These were devout Jews.
Hierdie was toegewyde Jode.
From every nation under heaven.
Van elke nasie onder die son.
Who therefore ate, drank and slept God's law.
Dit beteken hulle het God se wet geëet en gedrink en dit geslaap.
The law was a schoolmaster to bring 3,000 to Christ.
Die wet was 'n onderwyser om 3,000 mense na Christus toe te bring.
Now 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 which we can turn to.
1 Timoteus hoofstuk 1 vers 8
tells us once again what God's law is used for.
Vertel vir ons waarvoor God se wet gebruik word.
1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 says
1 Timoteus hoofstuk 1 vers 8 sê
but we know that the law is good.
Ons weet dat die wet goed is.
If it is used lawfully.
As 'n mens dit op die regte manier gebruik.
For the purpose for which it was designed.
Die doel vir wat die wet ontwikkel is.
What was the law designed for?
Waarvoor is die wet ontwikkel?
Following verse tells us.
Die volgende vers sê vir ons.
Says the law was not made for the righteous but for sinners.
Sê die wet is gemaak nie vir die wetsgehoorsames nie maar vir die ongehoorsames, vir sondaars.
It even lists the sinners.
En hy noem selfs die sondaars.
Homosexuals.
Homoseksuele.
Fornicators.
Mense wat
eg bring a homosexual to Christ, give him the 10 commandments.
As jy wil 'n homoseksueel na Jesus toe bring, gee vir hom die 10 gebooie.
Show him that he has sinned against God.
Wys hom dat hy gesondig het teen God.
Despite his perversion.
Maak nie saak wat hy gedoen het nie.
If you want to bring a Muslim to Christ.
As jy 'n moslim na Christus toe wil bring.
Muslims accept Moses as a prophet.
Moslems aanvaar Moses as 'n profeet.
Well, give them the law of Moses.
Geef hulle die wet van Moses.
And strip them of their self-righteousness.
En trek hulle uit hulle selfregverdigheid.
Show them that God requires truth in the inward parts.
Wys hulle dat God waarheid wil hê in die binnekant.
The Bible is filled with examples.
Die Bybel is vol van voorbeelde.
Of the law doing its work in evangelism.
Van die wet wat hulle die werk doen in evangelisasie.
Think of the woman caught in the act of adultery.
Dink aan die vrou wat gevang is in egbreek.
The law called for her blood.
Die wet het vir haar bloed gevra.
Her only avenue was to fling herself at the feet of Jesus.
Haar enige uitweg was om haarself te gooi aan die voete van Jesus.
And that's the function of God's law.
En dit is die funksie van God se wet.
Paul spoke of being shut up under the law.
Paulus het gepraat van dat hy was stilgehou onder die wet.
You can't condemn sinners.
Jy kan nie sondaars veroordeel nie.
They are already condemned.
Hulle is alreeds veroordeel.
He that believes not is condemned already, Scripture says.
Hy wat nie glo nie is alreeds veroordeel, sê die skrif.
Now, normally in this teaching I go through the Ten Commandments.
Gewoonlik in hierdie leering gaan ek deur die 10 gebooie.
But it may be more practical for you.
Maar dit sal miskien meer prakties vir u wees.
If I share with you how I share my faith.
As ek met u deel hoe ek my geloof met ander
deel. I'm a strong believer in following the example of Jesus.
Ek is sterk 'n gelowige om Jesus se voorbeeld te volg.
Given to us in John chapter 4.
Wat vir ons gegee word in Johannes hoofstuk 4.
When Jesus approached the woman at the well,
toe Jesus by die vrou gekom het,
he spoke in the natural realm first.
Het hy eersins in die natuurlike riem gepraat.
So that's what I do.
So dis wat ek doen.
I go up to someone and say, "Hi, how you doing?"
Ek gaan na iemand sê, "Hey, hoe gaan dit?"
"What do you do for a job?"
Wat doen jy vir werk?
And then I say, "Did you get one of these?"
En dan sê ek, "Het jy een van hierdie gekry?"
Maybe I give him a gospel tract.
Miskien gee ek vir 'n traktaat.
And then I carry in my pocket pennies with the Ten Commandments pressed into them.
En dan dra ek in my sak pennies met die 10 gebooie op hulle.
But you don't really need one of these. All you need is something Christian.
Maar dit nie een van hierdie nodig nie. Al wat jy nodig het is iets wat Christendom.
And when they say it's Christian or you say that it's Christian.
En wanneer jy sê dit is vir Christene of hulle sien dit is.
You just say, "Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?"
Dan vra jy, "Dink jy hierdie 10 gebooie onderhou?"
And this is usually what happens.
En dis gewoonlik wat gebeur.
Oh, pretty much.
Oh ja, ek dink so.
I haven't killed anyone.
Ek het niemand doodgemaak nie.
I say, "Have you ever told a lie?"
Sê, "Ooit 'n leuen vertel?"
He says, "Yeah."
"Yeah."
"One or two."
"Een of twee."
I say, "What does that make you?"
Sê, "Wat maak dit jou dan?"
He says, "A sinner."
Sê, "Wel, 'n sondaar."
I say, "More specifically, doesn't it make you a liar?"
Sê, "Meer spesifiek, maak dit jou nie 'n leuenaar nie?"
He says, "Oh, I'm not a liar."
"Oh, ek is nie 'n leuenaar nie."
I say, "Well, how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar?"
Ek sê, "Wel, hoeveel leuns moet jy vertel om 'n leuenaar te wees?"
10 and suddenly a bell rings.
10 and on lay a clock.
One lie makes you a liar, isn't that right?
Een leuen maak jou 'n leuenaar.
He says, "Yeah."
"Ja." "Yeah."
"Say, have you ever stolen something?"
"Sê, het jy ooit iets gesteel?"
He says, "No."
"Sê, nee."
"Say, come on, you've just told me you're a liar."
"Sê, kom maar, jy het net vir my gesê jy's 'n leuenaar."
"Have you ever stolen something even if it's small?"
"Ja, iets gesteel, selfs al is dit iets kleins."
"Ja."
"Ja."
Say, what does that make you?"
"Wat maak dit jou dan?"
He says, "A thief."
"Ja, a dief."
Said, "You know, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart."
Weet jy, hy sê, as jy na 'n vrou kyk en jy lus na haar, dan het jy alreeds eg met haar gebreek.
"So have you ever done that?"
"Het jy dit ooit gedoen?"
"So yeah, plenty of times."
"Ja, baie keer."
"So from your own admission, you're a lying, thieving adulterer at heart."
Ek sê, van jou eie belyding is jy 'n leenaar en jy's 'n dief en jy's 'n egbreker.
And you have to face God on judgment day.
En jy gaan voor God staan op die dag van oordeel.
And we've only looked at 3 of the 10 commandments.
En ons het net na 3 van die 10 gebooie gekyk.
If you hate someone, you commit murder in your heart.
As jy iemand haat, het jy moord gepleeg in jou hart.
And as you go through the commandments,
en soos jy deur die 10 gebooie gaan,
they leave us all guilty.
Dan los dit ons almal skuldig.
And the wonderful thing that happens,
die wonderlike ding wat gebeur,
is that the work of the law is written in their hearts.
Is dat die werk van die wet word geskryf op mense se harte.
Says in Romans 2 verse 15.
Dis die Bybel sê dit in Romeine 2 vers 15.
Says the conscience bears witness.
Sê dat die gewete
conscience is with knowledge.
Gewete beteken met kennis.
Con means with.
Con beteken met.
And science is knowledge.
En science beteken kennis.
So whenever he's lied or stolen or lusted.
So wanneer 'n persoon ook lieg of steel of gelus het.
He's known in his heart, but he's done wrong.
Het hy geweet in sy hart dat hy iets verkeerd gedoen het.
So on the day of judgment, he will be without excuse.
So op die dag van oordeel sal hy sonder 'n verskoning wees.
So the law brings the knowledge of sin.
So die wet bring die kennis van sonde.
You may identify with this, some of you ladies.
Miskien kan u met dit identifiseer, sommige van u dames.
You dust your table down in the morning.
Jy stof jou tafel af in die oggend.
It's a clean table.
Dis 'n skoon tafel.
Then you draw back the curtains.
Dan trek jy die gordyne oop.
And let in the early morning sunlight.
Laat die vroeë oggend sonlig daarin.
What do you see on the table?
Wat sien jy op die tafel?
Dust.
Stof.
What do you see in the air?
Wat sien jy in die lug?
Dust.
Stof.
Did the light create the dust?
Het die lug die stof geskep?
Oh no, the light merely exposed the dust.
Nee, die lug het net die stof uitgewys.
And when you and I take the time to draw back the curtains of the Holy of Holies.
En wanneer ons tyd vat en die gordyne ooptrek van die heiliges van heiliges.
It lets the light of God's law shine upon the sinner's heart.
Dit laat die lig van God se wet op die harte van sondaars skyn.
So he can see himself in truth.
Sodat hulle self kan sien in waarheid.
The commandment is a lamp.
Die bevel is 'n lamp.
And the law is light.
En die wet is lig.
That's why Paul says, by the commandment,
dis kom Paulus sê, deur die bevel,
sin became exceedingly sinful.
Het sonde al hoe meer sonde geword.
In other words, the law showed him,
met ander woorde, die wet het hom gewys,
sin in its true light.
Sonde in die ware lig.
And someone who has this knowledge,
iemand wat hierdie kennis het,
can now understand,
kan nou verstaan,
that God is angry at them.
Dat God is kwaad.
That his wrath abides upon them.
Dat God se oordeel is op hulle.
They can see their weight in the balance.
Hulle kan sien hulle is op die balans.
Of eternal justice.
Van ewige geregtigheid.
And found wanting.
En wanneer hulle op daardie balans geplaas word, is het hulle
tekort. They can therefore understand.
Daarom kan hulle verstaan.
Why Jesus had to die.
Hoekom Jesus moes sterf.
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Christus red ons van die vloek van die wet.
Being made a curse for us.
Want hy is 'n vloek vir ons gemaak.
God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners Christ died for us.
God wys sy en openbaar sy liefde aan ons dat terwyl ons nog sondaars was, sterf Christus Jesus vir ons.
We broke the law.
Ons het die wet verbreek.
He paid the fine.
Hy het die skuld betaal.
The moment we repent and accept.
Die moment wanneer ons onsself bekeer en ons aanvaar dit.
What he did on the cross.
Wat hy gedoen het aan die kruis.
We're free from the wrath of God.
Ons is vry van God se oordeel.
Charles Spurgeon. A great preacher from 100 years ago.
'N kragtige prediker van omtrent 100 jaar terug.
Said they will never accept grace.
Het gesê hulle sal nooit genade aanvaar.
Till they tremble before a holy and just law.
Dan sê hulle skud voor 'n heilige en geregtige wet.
They'll never take the cure.
Hulle sal nooit die medisyne vat.
Unless they're first convinced they have the disease.
Dan sê hulle weet hulle het die siekte nie.
The law works.
Die wet werk.
It converts the soul.
Dit red die siel.
It makes a man a new creature in Christ.
Maak 'n man 'n nuwe kreatuur in Jesus Christus.
He puts his hand to the plow.
Hy sit sy hand aan die ploeg.
And he doesn't look back.
En hy kyk nie terug nie.
Because he's fit for the kingdom.
Want hy is nou in staat vir God se koninkryk.
So why don't you find yourself a sinner?
Hoekom soek jy nie vir 'n sondaar nie?
And experiment on him.
En maak 'n eksperiment op hulle.
Just try it out.
Probeer dit.
See if it works.
Sien of dit werk.
Jesus gave the example.
Jesus het die voorbeeld gegee.
Follow it.
Volg dit.
If someone comes to you and says,
as iemand na jou toe kom en sê,
I'm just a terrible sinner.
Ek is net 'n aaklige sondaar.
I've committed adultery.
Ek het eeg gebreek.
I've got lust burning in my heart.
Lust in my heart.
I'm filled with jealousy and hatred.
Ek is vol jaloesheid en ek haat mense.
Give them grace.
Gee hulle genade.
But more than likely,
maar meerendeels,
you'll find people saying,
sal die mense hoor sê,
I'm really a good person.
Ek is regtig 'n goeie mens.
A lot of people worse than me.
Daar's baie mense slegter as ek.
They go about to establish their own righteousness.
Hulle gaan hulle stel hulle eie geregtigheid vas.
Being ignorant of the righteousness which is of God.
Hulle ignoreer die geregtigheid wat van God af is.
So you must give them that light.
So jy moet hulle daardie lig gee.
God doesn't want you to get decisions.
God wil nie jy moet net besluite kry nie.
He wants people to be saved.
Hy wil mense gered hê.
And for that they need repentance.
En hulle het bekering nodig vir dit.
And they will not repent.
En hulle sal nie hulle self bekeer nie.
If they don't know what sin is.
As hulle nie weet wat sonde is nie.
So as I said.
Soos ek gesê het.
Try it out.
Probeer dit.
But as you do.
Soos jy dit doen.
Remember this one story.
Onthou hierdie een story.
You're sitting on a plane.
Jy sit op 'n vliegtuig.
You're enjoying the flight.
Jy geniet die vlug.
And suddenly you hear.
Skielik hoor jy.
This is your captain speaking.
Dis jou kaptein wat praat.
I have an announcement to make.
Ek wil net vir iets sê.
As the tail section has just fallen off this plane.
Die agterkant, die stert van die vliegtuig het sopas afgeval.
We're about to crash.
En ons gaan gaan
25,000 feet in the air.
Ons is 25,000 voet in die lug.
There's a parachute under your seat.
Daar is 'n valskerm onder jou sitplek.
So we'd appreciate if you put it on.
So ons sal bly wees as u dit aantrek.
Thank you for your attention.
Baie dankie vir die attentie.
And thank you for flying with this airline.
Baie dankie dat jy met hierdie lugredery vlieg.
You put your parachute on and say, "Boy, am I glad to be wearing a parachute."
Jy trek jou valskerm en sê, "Oef, ek is bly ek het 'n valskerm."
You look next to you, the guy next to you is watching the movie.
Langs jou in die ou langs jou is besig om 'n rolprent te kyk.
Say, excuse me, didn't you hear the captain?
Excuse toch, het jy nie die kaptein gehoor nie?
Put the parachute on.
Laat die valskerm aan.
He turns to and says,
draai na jou toe en sê,
I really don't think the captain means it.
Ek dink nie regtig dat die kaptein bedoel dit nie.
Says, I'm quite happy as I am, thanks.
Oh, ek is baie gelukkig soos ek is, baie dankie.
Don't turn to him.
Moet nie na hom te draai nie.
And say, please.
Sê, asseblief.
Put the parachute on.
Laat die valskerm aan.
It'll be better than the movie.
Het sal beter wees as die rolprent.
Doesn't make sense.
Dit maak nie sin nie.
If you tell him to put the parachute on.
As jy hom sê trek die valskerm aan.
Because it'll improve the flight.
Want dit sal die vlug beter maak.
He's going to put it on for a wrong motive.
Gaan dit aantrek vir die verkeerde motief.
If you want him to put it on and keep it on.
As jy wil hê moet dit aantrek en dit aanhou.
Tell him about the jump.
Sê vir hom dat hy sal moet spring.
Excuse me.
Excuse toch.
Jump without a parachute.
Spring sonder 'n valskerm.
Splat.
Jy gaan plat wees.
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon.
Ek is jammer, wat sê jy?
I said, if you jump without a parachute.
Jy spring sonder 'n valskerm.
Law of gravity.
Die aantrekkingswet.
On the ground.
Op die grond.
He says, goodness me.
Ja, het is ongelooflik.
I see what you're saying.
Ek sien wat jy sê.
Oh, thank you very much.
Baie dankie.
And as long as that man knows.
En solank as daardie man weet.
As long as he has knowledge.
Solank as hy kennis het.
That he has passed through the door.
Dat hy deur die deur gegaan het.
And face the consequences.
En hy sal die konsekwensie
of breaking the law of gravity.
Dat hy die wet van die aantrekkingskrag verbreek.
There's no way you're going to get that parachute off his back.
Daar's geen manier hoe jy daai valskerm van sy rug af gaan afkry nie.
Because his very life depends on it.
Want sy lewe het daarmee te doen.
Now, if you look around, you'll find there are multitudes of passengers enjoying the flight.
As jy om jou kyk, sal jy sien daar is duisende passasiers wat die vlug geniet.
They're enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season.
Hulle geniet die plesier van sonde vir 'n seisoen.
Say, excuse me.
Ja, excuse toch.
Did you hear the command from the captain of our salvation? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Het jy die bevel van die kaptein van ons redding gehoor? Laat ons moet die Here Jesus Christus aantrek.
Turns to you and says.
Draai na jou en sê.
I really don't think God means it.
Ek dink nie die Here bedoel dit nie.
God is love.
God is liefde.
Besides, I'm quite happy as I am.
Ek is gelukkig soos ek is, baie dankie.
Don't turn to him with zeal without knowledge.
Moet nie dat draai met ywer sonder kennis nie.
Say please.
Say, asseblief.
Give your heart to Jesus.
Gee jou hart vir Jesus.
He'll give you peace, joy, love, fulfillment.
Hy sal jou vrede, blydskap, vervulling gee.
Fill the God-shaped vacuum in your heart.
Hy sal daardie
heal your marriage.
In jou hart volmaak. Hy sal jou
help your alcohol problem.
Huwelik genees. Hy
help your drug problem.
Alcohol probleem oplos.
Take away your loneliness.
Hy sal jou nie meer alleen los nie.
Just give your heart to Jesus.
Gee net jou hart vir Jesus.
No, you'll give him a wrong motive for his commitment.
Jy sal hom 'n verkeerde motief gee vir sy toewyding.
Instead say, God, give me courage.
Instead say, Here, gee my die krag, die moed.
and tell him about the jump.
Om vir hom te sê dat die oordeel kom.
So if you die without the Savior,
jy sterf sonder Jesus.
It's appointed a man wants to die.
'N man gaan eens eendag sterf en daarna is dit die oordeel.
You've lusted, you've committed adultery.
As jy lus in jou hart het, het jy eeg gebreek.
If you've hated someone, you've committed murder.
As jy iemand gehaat het, het jy moord gepleeg.
Told one lie, you're a liar.
As jy een leuen vertel, is jy 'n leienaar.
The day of wrath.
Dag van oordeel.
Fist of eternal justice will come down upon you.
Die vuis van ewige geregtigheid op jou afkom.
And grind you to pieces.
En gaan jou tot stof maak.
God bless. Now I'm not talking about hellfire preaching.
Ek praat nie van helvuur se prediking nie.
Hellfire preaching will produce fear-filled converts.
Hellfuur prediking gaan mense vol vrees plaas.
Using God's law will produce tear-filled converts.
Om God se wet te gebruik gaan mense met trane uit die Here toe te lei.
This one comes merely to escape the fires of hell.
Hierdie kom net sodat hy nie hel toe gaan nie.
And because the law wasn't used to show him he deserves hell.
En omdat die wet nie gebruik was om te wys dat hy dat hel verdien nie.
He doesn't appreciate God's mercy.
Is hy nie dankbaar vir God se genade nie.
There's no gratitude in his heart.
Is geen dankbaarheid in sy hart nie.
But this one comes knowing he sinned against heaven.
Hierdie kom en hy weet hy het gesondig teen die hemel.
He's violated the law of a holy God.
Die heilige God se wette verbreek.
And on the day of justice.
Dag van oordeel.
God was to lay out all his sins as evidence of his guilt.
God al sy sonde moet uitlei as 'n bewys van sy skuld.
Almighty God in his holiness.
Almagtige God in sy heiligheid.
But pick him up as an unclean thing.
Tel as 'n onreine ding.
Cast him into hell.
In hel en inwerp.
But instead he's given him heaven.
In steede daarvan gee hy vir hom die hemele.
He's commanded his love toward him and what is yet a sinner Christ died for.
Hy liefde vir hom gee en terwyl hy 'n sonder was het Christus vir hom gesterwe.
Falls on his
knees. Val op sy knie.
In the blood-sodden soil of Calvary's cross.
In die bloed verspilde grond van die kruis van Golgotha.
Cries, oh God, if you do that for me, I'll do anything.
Roep uit, Here, as u dit vir my doen, sal ek enigiets vir u doen.
He says, I delight to do your will, oh my God.
Here, ek wil u wil doen.
Your law is written upon my heart.
Die wet is geskrywe op my hart.
And like the man who knew he had to pass through the door.
Soos die man wat geweet het, hy moet deur daardie deur gaan.
Face the consequences of breaking the law of gravity.
En die konsekwensies gaan hy volg as hy die aantrekkingskrag
verbreek. Never take the parachute off because his very life depends on it.
Maar hy sal nooit die valskerm afhaal nie, want hy weet sy lewe hang daarvan af.
So he who comes to the Savior.
Hy wat na die Redder toe kom.
Knowing he has to face a holy God on the day of wrath.
Weet, hy moet na 'n heilige God luister.
Never forsake the righteousness of God in Christ.
Sal nooit die geregtigheid van God verlaat in Jesus Christus nie.
Because his very life
depends on
it. Want hy weet
sy lewe hang daarvan af.
Such converts become soul winners.
Sulke tipe bekeerlinge word sielewenners.
Not pew warmers.
Nie mense wat net in stoele warm maak nie.
Laborers.
Word werkers.
Not layabouts.
Nie mense wat net rond lê nie.
Assets.
Hulle is waardevol.
Not liabilities.
Nie mense wat jou altyd iets kos nie.
For the local
vir
church.
Die plaaslike gemeente.
Let's bear in prayer as we
buig ons hoofde in gebed soos ons afsluit.
Father, we pray that we'd be as the Bereans.
Vader, ons bid dat ons soos die Bereans sal wees.
And search the scriptures to see if these things are true.
En ons sal die skrif ondersoek om te sien of hierdie dinge waar is.
And that we'd examine
ourselves.
Dat
ons onsself sal ondersoek.
To see if we're in the faith.
Om te sien of ons in die geloof is.
Father, if we're not.
Vader, as ons nie is nie.
Let us make our calling and election sure.
Laat ons seker maak ons roeping en ons redding is seker.
By crying out, God forgive me, I'm a sinner.
Sê, Here, vergewe my, ek is 'n sondaar.
By exercising repentance towards God.
Dat ons onsself bekeer voor God.
And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
En geloof tot ons Here Jesus Christus.
His name
sy naam bid ons. Amen.
Amen.